Welcome to the Camden Nazarene Podcast. Camden Nazarene is an established church with a fresh vision located at 2276 Jefferson Davis Highway in Camden, South Carolina. We gather for worship each Sunday at 10:40 a.m., and you're invited to be our guest this Sunday.
Well, this morning we finish our series on Elisha. Over the last few weeks, we have looked at burning plows, digging ditches, and gathering jars. But our text today brings us to 2 Kings chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles, if you'll please stand. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. This is the word of the Lord. The company of the prophet said to Elisha, "Look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan where each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place there for us to live." And he said, "Go." Then one of them said, "Won't you please come with your servants?" "I will," Elisha replied, and he went with them. Then they went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. "Oh, my Lord," he cried out, "it was borrowed." The man of God asked, "Where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. "Lift it out," he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in this sanctuary today, I pray that you will come. Meet with us here. I pray that you will prepare the heart and the ears for what you have for us today. I pray that you will speak through me. Lord, let it be your words. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. Lord, we love you and ask that you will just abide. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever lost anything? Kind of a crazy question, right? We've lost all kinds of things. We've lost phones and keys and wallets and shoes, and we can never find socks that match. So, like ever. So I literally have a big basket of socks, and hopefully you can find two that are similar when it's time for socks. One of the most important things we've lost, because we've even lost our kids. One night, we were playing softball in Lamar. I don't know if any of you are familiar with where that is, but it's kind of in the middle of nowhere. And one second, Joshua was playing with some kids right beside me, and the next second, he was gone. Brandon's helping coach softball on the field, and I start panicking. You can't really work for the Department of Corrections and not panic when a child is not where it's supposed to be. So I'm in the middle of nowhere in a foreign territory. We'd never been there before. And like I said, in the middle of nowhere, and Joshua's gone. So some of the other moms start helping me look for Joshua. There's like two bathrooms, a couple other teams play in, and two parking lots, and it's just an open field. So I start frantically searching. I feel like I've been everywhere two or three times. I've been to both restrooms. I've been to the other teams, and so then I start heading to the parking lot, trying to figure out in my mind if I've seen any car leaving over the last, like, it seemed like an eternity, but it really wasn't, but probably about 5 minutes. I go to the field, and I said, "Brandon, I can't find Joshua," and he said, I'm in the game." Okay, well, just stay in the game while I look for our missing child. I can't find him anywhere. So as I'm going to the parking lot, I've got, like, some other moms helping. Here comes Joshua. He hops right out of a burgundy minivan. Yeah, my heart did that same thing. And there was this family that we knew from, like, T-ball, but we didn't really know them, and he was playing with them in their van. All of the emotions. I had all of them. I was so angry. He couldn't really move for about 3 weeks. You've got to be in my sight. I don't care if you want to go play. I don't care that we're at the park. You have to sit here. So all the emotions, because there's really nothing like that type of panic. Well, in our text today, we have a young prophet who lost an axe head. And it really might not seem like that big of a deal. Many of you probably have an axe around the house. You could probably get one even from Harbor Freight these days that's really not that expensive. However, where we are in our text, at this time, iron axe head was a costly tool. too expensive for the members of the prophetic company to purchase. Having lost it, the borrower faced the prospect of having to work off the value as a bond servant. You have to think about, number one, who you're dealing with. These guys that we're building are college students. They're young prophets. So I'm sure that you can remember your college days, or maybe you have a kid in college and you remember how low your bank account always was. You're like, can I eat from the dollar menu today, or do I have to wait until somebody sends some money tomorrow? That's really what it's like. Well, I think I might have some bread and cheese because we did grilled cheeses all the time. Or, you know, you could go get some ramen noodles for 20 cents. This is the kind of lifestyle this young man was living at the time. This was a hardworking group. They were not lazy. They were industrious. They were studying the word, but they were also, if you read the text, they were going to build a bigger place. So some people think they were building a place to live. Some people think they were building a place to worship. But one way or another, they were building. And so this young college student borrowed this axe head. And as he's working, it breaks and falls into the water. Losing this axe head could be financially devastating to this young man. He's a hardworking, honest man, and this loss causes panic. He immediately calls on the Lord. So I want you this morning to think about some things that you've lost. It might be something simple, and we even know people who think they've lost their phone, but they're talking on it. And they think they lost their glasses, but they're on top of their head. But then we also know people on a complete different end of the spectrum who might have literally lost things like their entire life savings because of something devastating that had happened, or an entire house in a fire. So I don't know what you're thinking about that you might have lost. Some of it's comical, but some of it's really much more severe. But for today, I want to talk about, the sermon title was Losing Your Spiritual Edge. So I want you to think about this in terms of your walk with Christ. What have you lost in that sense today? Have you lost the joy of your relationship with Christ? Did you once have a deep, settled faith in who God is, and now you aren't quite sure? Have you lost your hope? Were you once passionate about Jesus and doing the work of the Lord, and now couldn't start a fire with that passion? Maybe you've been hurt by someone or something, and you've lost the courage to keep on. Maybe you've lost your way. Maybe you've lost your identity in Christ because you were once sure that you were a beloved child of God, and now you're not so sure who you are anymore. Maybe the world has told you that you're something different. I don't know what you've lost, but there are two things that I do know. And the first thing that we need to talk about today is that God cares about what you've lost. So when you're frantic trying to find your keys in the morning and you're late, God cares about that. It's insignificant. It seems like, well, does he really? But he really does, because he cares about you. You're his child. Anytime I think about something lost, I go back to the parables in the New Testament. We know them pretty well. We've had them in Sunday school throughout our entire time. But I don't know that I've ever had this story out of 2 Kings in a Sunday school lesson as a child. But we have, you know, put cotton on some sheep, because we talk about the lost sheep and how he left the 99 to find the one. We've talked about coins and the significance of the lost coin and how the woman was frantic to find it. And we've talked about the lost son, the prodigal son. It's one of our favorite stories, right? He was lost and now he's found. And a lot of times when we preach that text or when we look at that in a Sunday school lesson, we're talking about the people that are lost that don't know Jesus, and how the Lord really pursues them and wants them back into the fold. Today we want to look at it just a little differently, but it could apply in both places. Today, we want to talk about how this young man, he knew the Lord. He wasn't lost on the outside looking in. He wasn't leaving the 99. He was found. He was in the 99. And in that, he lost something. And in this sense, it's an iron axe head, but the principle of the story is that God cares about what you've lost. When the young man loses the axe head in the water, he says, "Oh no, my Lord, it was borrowed. Elisha goes over and says, show me where you lost it. He's lost something, and the Lord cares about that. So for you today, whatever you've lost, the Lord cares about that too. Whether it's joy or passion or hope or peace, the Lord cares about what you've lost. In Psalm 139, it is written, you have searched me, Lord. You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. If you truly think about that, we should be comforted in the fact that the Lord cares. He knows our comings and our goings. He knows our words before they even come from our mouth. In 1 Peter 5:7, it says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. In Psalm 55:2, it says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. I am very confident there are some things in this world that shake us. Broken relationships, tough situations, unexpected news that we receive, sometimes just bad days, sometimes bad seasons. Sometimes we let the influences of the world and what they're trying to tell us start to define us. And we didn't do it on purpose, but we get to this place and we're really not sure how we ended up here. We used to be so sure about life and so sure about who the Lord is and how so sure about our relationship with him. And now we're at the place where, well, I'm okay and I might study the word every now and then, or, you know, I really like this new song. And that's almost like reading my Bible and spending time with the Lord, right? Because I'm listening to this Christian radio station. Or I'll come to church. You know, it's really kind of the thing to do. But what about, is it still real for you? I want you to think back about when you first came to know the Lord, and are things the same as far as your passion and your zeal as they were then? One of the pastors that talked about this particular passage said that when he became a full-time pastor, he became a part-time follower of Christ. He said he got up to preach one Sunday and realized that the only reason he had studied any text in the scripture this week was because he had to preach. I have a feeling that's where a lot of us can find ourselves if we're not careful. So the first thing you need to know is that God cares about what you lost. The second thing is that God can help you recover what you've lost. Elijah asked, where did you lose it? So can you remember wherever you lost whatever is on your heart right now? Was it a tough situation? Was it someone who said you couldn't do what you knew that the Lord had called you to do? Was it a circumstance that diminished your joy? Or maybe you do remember when serving the Lord brought you such contentment, but now it's just a mundane task. So be honest with yourself. A lot of times self-awareness is really kind of hard for us because we don't want to think about the things that we're not doing right or didn't do right or haven't been right or the things that put us out of line with Christ. But this morning, I feel like God's calling us to be honest. Where did you lose it? Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 30. This is from the Message. God, your God, will restore everything you lost. He'll have compassion on you. He'll come back and pick up the pieces from all the places where you scattered. No matter how far away you ended up, God, your God, will get you out of there and bring you back to the land your ancestors once possessed. It will be yours again. He will give you a good life and make you more numerous than your ancestors. We serve a God who is the Redeemer of all things. If you think back about the other miracles, maybe you didn't even know that there was a passage in the Bible that talked about an iron axe head floating, because it's really kind of weird to think that there was a guy cutting, lost the axe head, and the Lord cared enough that he was going to make it float and have the guy go back and get it. It's kind of weird. It's not like providing the oil and the jars for that woman's livelihood. It's not like providing the water. I mean, those are things we understand better, right? It's not like the manna every morning. It's not like parting the Red Sea. It's a little different than that. Another pastor said this: God will bring back what you didn't mean to lose. None of us wake up in the morning and be like, you know, I'd really like to lose my keys and be late for work today. Or I'd really like for my children not to be able to find even one pair of shoes that match. Or I'd really like to lose that $100 bill that I got, right? We don't wake up saying, you know, I'd really like to lose that stuff today. That's really not where we are. But we get to the place where we've lost something. We didn't mean to lose it, but we serve a God who can bring it back. None of us meant to become different in our walk with Christ. We didn't deliberately set out to quit reading the Word or quit praying or quit seeking God's face or quit fasting or quit having quiet time where you just meditated on who God is and just checked out of the busyness of life. We didn't intend for that particular circumstance to steal our joy or passion for serving. We didn't intend to get to the place where we lost our faith or our hope. But the thing is today, no matter whether we meant to get here or not, we have to be honest that we're here, something's lost, and that the Lord cares about what is lost, and He'll help us get it back. All of the miracles that we've talked about from Elisha in this series required action on the part of the person that was involved, okay? You had to burn a plow, you had to dig a ditch, you had to gather jars, and in this one, you have to lift out the axe head. In this passage, Elijah threw in the stick to make the axe head float. And when he did that, the axe head came straight to the surface. But he told the young prophet, lift it out. It required an action. It wasn't just like he produced it in the palm of his hand. Elijah threw the stick, the axe head floated. But if the guy had not put his hand in the water and picked up the axe head, he would have never got it. So today, we have to get to the point where we're really going to pick that axe head up. So you're saying that you want God to restore what's lost, but are you willing to pick it back up? So maybe you used to be this great person of faith, and you prayed without ceasing. And you've gotten to the point where maybe you pray before your meals, if you remember. The thing is, we've got to become the people that start praying again. Maybe you've gotten to the part where you're a part-time follower of Christ, and sometimes you open your Bible and sometimes you don't, and you don't know where your passion's gone. Well, it probably needs to start with you getting in the Word again. Maybe you've lost your joy in serving, and it might be that you need to take a step back, evaluate, and jump back in again. Maybe you've lost your joy because of a bad relationship or a deep hurt you experienced. So maybe you're saying, well, what do I do about that? It's not like I can just pick my Bible up and that never happened. And that's true. But for that, you have to seek forgiveness, seek God's face for healing, and keep pressing forward. You can't live in those situations forever. Can't undo them. They're already past. You can't. It's not like a game where you're like, can I get a redo? It's not like that with relationships. But what you can do is be proactive about pushing forward. Restoring what you have lost is going to take some work. But there is nothing He can't redeem. Jonathan Edwards, an Anglican pastor who lived in the 1700s, wrote this: not one concern of ours is too small if we belong to Him. To teach this, the Lord of all once made an axe head swim. The Lord demonstrated here in this passage His concern for the welfare of His faithful ones. God knows how to help you find what you didn't mean to lose. Be honest about where you lost it. With God's help, take back what you lost. Only God can send the water, but you have to dig the ditch. Only God can multiply the oil, you have to gather the jars. Only God can make the axe head float, but you have to lift it out. I didn't really have a lot of words today. I didn't really get to the point where I felt like that this sermon, I didn't feel the Lord leading that it needed to be one that just was completely elaborate. I didn't feel like it needed much explanation. It's a pretty cut and dry story. It's pretty much, you need to understand today that we probably can all identify that we've lost something. God cares about what you've lost, and He can help you recover what you've lost. Our praise team is going to come, and we're going to close with What a Beautiful Name. And it's not like we're leaving right this second, because you can't have a sermon this way and not give an opportunity of response. Donnie said during his pastoral prayer that the altars are kind of a lot more empty than they should be. And maybe you've just gotten to the place where you're just comfortable. I want us to spend a little time in worship. Maybe here, if you realize you've lost something and need some help, I want us to spend a little time thinking about who He is. And we chose to close with this song because it talks about who the Lord is. It's a beautiful name. It's a wonderful name. It's a powerful name. It's more powerful than any circumstance. It's more powerful than any broken relationship. It's more powerful than any of the world's influences that told you you weren't enough. It's more powerful than whatever you're facing. And I think you need to know that today. The altar's open. We're going to sing. We're going to pray. And we're going to let the Lord lead us a little bit. So I'm going to pray, and then they'll sing, and then we'll go from there. Lord, we love You, and we are thankful that You've met us here. And Lord, I pray today that You'll remind us how powerful You are, how wonderful You are, how beautiful the name of Jesus is. You've healed the sick. You've made the lame walk again. You've made an axe head float. You continually pursue our hearts. You continually want us back. You continually reach out and keep gathering us back in when we wander. Lord, today help us be honest about what's been lost. Help us be honest about where we lost it. Help us be honest. And help us know that You can help restore or redeem whatever has been lost. That You are the God of restoration. You are the God of healing. You are our rock and our redeemer. And You're bigger than anything we face in this life. Lord, help the circumstances that we face not change who we are in You. Lord, be with us as we worship. Lord, the altar's open, and Lord, if there are people within the sound of my voice that need to come pray, Lord, take the shame and embarrassment, anxiousness, Lord, whatever they're feeling away, Lord, help them be bold and come out. It's not a place of shame. It's a place where they meet You, and we need to meet You. In Jesus' name.
Jesus, You are.
have a few that are here, and I'd like to sing the chorus just one more time. I'm just convinced that we can't do this without it. So if you need to, just come.
What a powerful name.
Father, we proclaim that you are wonderful and powerful. You're our Redeemer, our God, our Savior, our King. You're the one that cares about even the number of hairs on our head and the tears that fall, the victories we have, the triumphs we make. Lord, you care about our going and our coming and everything and every intricate detail of who we are. And you love us completely, unconditionally. You love us enough that you sent your son, that you love us enough that you make axe heads float. Lord, I praise your name for meeting us here today, and I pray that whatever we've lost, that you'll help us be aware of it. That you'll take us back to the place where we lost it, that you'll restore what it was, that you'll redeem the situation. Lord, I pray that we'll be people who learn to be in utter dependence of who you are. On our best days, on our worst days, and every day in between. I pray that you will lead and guide. I pray that you will help us be the people of a ridiculous faith that step out into situations that seem kind of weird. I pray that you'll help us be people that trust you enough to find our entire identity in who you are and how you love us. Help us be the people that are focused on you and serving you and building your kingdom. Lord, thank you for meeting us here. I pray especially that you'll be with our pastoral family. I pray that this time has been a time of rest. I pray that they'll come back refreshed, and I pray that they will just have had an incredible trip and safe trip home. We thank you for our leadership team and for those leading this congregation. I pray that you'll help us lean only on you. Lord, we love you. Again, we thank you for our time together, and we thank you for meeting us here this morning. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for visiting CamdenFirstChurch.org.